The following program is produced in a timeshare agreement with Civic Media. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect those of Civic Media. Enjoy.
Hello.
David Anthony Hummer?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just calling to confirm that it's still a hard no for us to talk to that guy in Vegas about those pictures and paintings that he's had in the warehouse that nobody's ever seen of yours. Millions of dollars worth of those paintings. That's still a hard no, I'm assuming?
Yeah. You know, that's so long ago, and I'd rather not kick a sleeping dog.
You've moved on.
Yes.
Just a lot of people have asked us about it, so I wanted to confirm. That's number one.
You know what? Let's never say never.
Okay,
I did speak with him about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago.
Oh.
And, you know, I'll give him a call and find out if he'd like to get interviewed.
Well, we could either go out there or just do it over the phone. A lot of people are curious.
Well, he's actually back in Milwaukee now.
Oh, he lives in Milwaukee?
Yeah, he's in Milwaukee, so...
Did he bring the paintings?
I have no idea.
Okay.
Never asked him.
I want to find the whereabouts of these paintings.
Okay, yeah, I'll give him a call. Let's never say never.
Okay.
Okay, and then point number two, in all seriousness, what's going on with the Wassa Club? I heard it was delayed. When are you opening now?
So, you know, we moved from October to January 1.
Okay.
One of the reasons is, you know, we're dealing with multiple contractors and, you know, most contractors are just swamped. So we're at the mercy of contractors, liquor licensing through the city, things like that.
Right.
So to have a comfortable timeline without everybody, you know, ripping their hair out, we've moved it to January 1.
Okay, good to know. That's all we were hoping for, January 1. Can't wait to get to the Wassa Club.
And yeah, me too.
And what's the name of the ghost again? It's Mary, right?
Martha.
We're wondering, hopefully we can have our Wassa Business Show Halloween special in the upstairs with Martha.
An interviewer.
Oh, that'd be awesome. I'll talk to her, too. And
yeah.
All right, Dave. Talk to you later. Thank you.
Thanks.
All right, thank you.
Bye.
Oh, I love your podcast. It is awesome.
Thanks for doing what you guys do.
Yeah, boy.
You bet. She's crazy caller Brian from California.
Yeah. It's on the radio to talk about the gardens. Whoa, whoa, whoa. From Monk to just the salt, they want to expand. But the people said bring Monk back to the land.
I had tears of joy rolling down my cheek. The arrival and departure at the Red Lobster was broadcasting genius.
Every entree comes with two warm cheddar biscuits.
Keep up the good work.
As the new mayor of Wassa, I would welcome Red Lobster to our great city.
I can't wait to visit Wassa.
This is the legendary Wassa Business Show with Ryan and Paul.
Are we still your favorite radio hosts of all time? Moms?
Absolutely.
Of course you are.
The number one show for and about Wassa.
I like to refer to him as Robert W. Monk.
What's that spell? Yeah, you're going to Florida.
Are you kidding me?
Okay, what's your favorite Wassa Business Show?
You guys.
Oh, good answer.
The Wassa Business Show.
The one and only Wassa Business Show.
Come on, people now. Smile on your brother. Everybody get together.
Episode number 16 of the Wassa Business Show. I'm Ryan.
I'm Paul.
We are open for business.
Yeah, open for business, baby. Thank you for patronizing the Wassa Business Show.
Is that funny or did I do something funny?
No, we have new microphones and they have these things over the face of them.
Paul got a new mic, everyone. I can't stop laughing at it. You got to see this thing.
It's obnoxious. What is that thing called? It's called a pop blocker. And it's right over your face.
It's like a nylon mesh thing draped over your face.
Yeah.
I can't see your face. It's really weird. It's the first time I've ever had this in my career where somebody's had an official pop. It's called a pop blocker. We try to really make it sound good for you, Wausau.
And
so,
you're welcome.
So we bought some pop blockers. It's called a windscreen, Paul, actually.
Is that what it really is called?
But I think the brand name is a pop blocker, and it covers Paul's entire face.
Here, I have it. It's called, let's just see here.
It's hard to take you seriously, not that it's normally not hard. It suppresses peas, bees, and breath noise.
And entire faces, apparently.
Yeah. It helps protect microphones from moisture. It's 6 inches in diameter.
It's the whole face it covers.
It's got a flexible gooseneck for easy positioning. And Paul positioned it over his entire face.
So who we got coming up on the show today?
I'm so glad you asked, Paul. Today we have Shadow Stevens.
Oh.
Otherwise known as Chad. His real name's Chad. He goes by Shadow Stevens. Yeah. He was on Hollywood Squares, number one show on television for many years in the 90s. And the number one show on Wausau television, too.
Yeah.
And he hosted American Top 40, which Ryan Seacrest currently hosts.
Count them down.
Counting down the hits of the Billboard charts on, let's listen to the jingle.
American Top 40.
Great jingle.
Yeah.
You can hear that on the number one rated radio station in Wausau, Wisconsin, USA. And he was the voice of the Craig Ferguson Show on CBS for like a decade.
Yeah.
And currently on Sirius XM on the Craig Ferguson Show there. And does mentalradio.net. That's his pride and joy these days.
I'm excited to talk to him. I'm a big fan of Shadow Stevens.
He's in the Radio Hall of Fame.
Yes.
Howard Stern isn't even in the Radio Hall of Fame.
I'm not sure if that's true. I know Robin Quivers is.
Okay. Baba Booey.
Is not.
And he's the author of 5 different children's books.
Yeah, cool.
As we look over Wausau's iconic children's imaginarium in downtown Wausau.
We got a lot to talk to Shadow about.
Can't wait. We got to call the mayor.
Yep, get him on the horn.
We have to ask him about this August Kickbush competition. August 10th, the August Kickbush competition, Wausau's first mayor.
And we're really calling it a celebration, I think.
August Kickbush celebration, right? Just the competition is part and parcel of the celebration.
Right.
Brad Emanuel is going to be performing live. That'll be cool.
There are plenty of food trucks.
They're shutting down the streets.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
WausauBusiness.com if you want to sign up and get more information on that.
Good morning, Doug Denny.
Good morning, Mayor.
Good morning.
It's Ryan and Paul calling from the Wausau Business Show. How are you this morning?
Hey, great, Ryan and Paul.
Yeah, we just wanted to talk to you about the August Kickbush competition, if we could, or the August Kickbush celebration of Wausau.
Yes, it's a awesome idea.
Oh, good.
Oh, good.
As the person that currently sits in the chair, is it the exact chair that August Kickbush sat in?
Oh, my. Not exactly, but it might be the same wood floor that he had.
Okay, so he walked down those hallowed halls that you walk down?
He used to be over where the old other side of the old mall where the post office is. That was the city hall back in those days.
Okay.
But
yeah.
He certainly roamed the streets of 3rd and Washington and Jefferson.
Well, we want to make sure that we're, how do we put this? That kicking a can of bush in August to celebrate Wausau and our first mayor on the 151st birthday.
151,
of,
right?
Of Wausau is in no way disrespectful. Let's put it that way.
No, you know, as a kid, I have fond memories of playing Kick the Can. You remember that game?
Of
Kick
course.
The Can?
Yeah.
With all the neighborhood kids. I think it's cool. And, you know, there's another famous, as we kick off August here, famous August is August Anheuser-Busch Sr., who ran the Anheuser-Busch Company from 1913 to 1940s.
Coincidentally, also named August.
On August Jr.
Yeah.
Dolphus started it, and then August Sr. took it over. August Jr., and he went by the name of Gussie. I don't know if I like that, but so kicking off August, no better way, I think, than to celebrate and honor our first mayor, August Kickbush. That's a great idea.
Wonderful. Okay. Well, we wanted to make sure we had the city of Wausau support. Thank you, Mayor.
We will be kicking bush. Brad Emanuel will be there. We'll have food trucks. It'll be a lot of fun. It'll be a good celebration of Wausau's birthday in August.
You know, we've got to celebrate our past. They're the guys we're standing on their shoulders.
Right.
And I've got a portrait of August Kickbush coming in. We should be putting it right outside the mayor's office, hopefully any day now.
Oh, wonderful.
Fantastic.
Will you be able to make it on August 10th, on Saturday, August 10th at the 400 block, Mayor?
Saturday, August 10th, I will be there.
Oh, excellent.
Wonderful. Excellent. Okay. Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, and have a great day.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
All right. Thanks for calling, guys.
August 10th at about 12:30, we'll be kicking cans of bush to commemorate and celebrate and honor August Kickbush. It's not August Kick Miller.
That's right.
It's August Kickbush.
That's right.
Hey, here's a little known fact. Wausau's first mayor, August Kickbush, traveled back to Germany in 1867 to enlist 702 German immigrants to Marathon County. So if anyone ever asks you, how would you get more people to move to Wausau? Just ask yourself, what would Kickbush do? Now that said, Rostar knows another way to show off our fine city and to celebrate Wausau's first mayor. Join the Wausau Business Show and Brad Emanuel on Saturday, August 10th at the 400 block in downtown Wausau for the first annual Kickbush competition. The team or individual entry that can kick bush beer cans the furthest wins $1,500 in cash and an August Kickbush trophy. Now, team theme and spirit both count. For more details and to sign your team up, go to augustkickbush.com. Sponsored in part by Rostar, the City of Wausau, and Rocket Industrial. All proceeds benefit the United Way of Marathon County. Kick a can of bush, win prizes. Sign up at augustkickbush.com.
In a landscape carved by billion-year-old glaciers sits a community rich with history and opportunity. A base camp to the outdoors and the Northwoods, where miles of rivers tempt paddlers and the fresh scent of pine fills the air on every trail. A base camp to theater, to the arts, experienced through the color of diverse festivals, farm to table, and craft beverages. A community that prides itself on Midwest nice and knows how to four season better than any other. Wisconsin's base camp. Visit Wausau.
Welcome to the heartbeat of Wausau.
The heartbeat of America.
The Wausau Business Show.
Everybody, so glad you're here. Studio with the flow back in your ear. This ain't a fantastic words, but I'm still on the mission. Let's see if I can get your attention. 1, 2, 3, it's like ABC. If hip hop didn't pay, I'd rap for free. Slide, slide, but that's the path. I got something brand new for the day.
1, 2, 3, 4, get your woman on the floor. It's the Wausau Business Show. I'm Ryan.
And I'm Paul.
And here we go with Shadow Stevens. Now, before we air Shadow Stevens, we pre-recorded this interview like we do many of our interviews.
Right.
And we have one small caveat.
Go ahead.
One thing we take pride in here at the Wausau Business Show is our audio fidelity.
That's right.
And we want it to sound beautiful for you.
Yeah.
Wausonians. But this week is not perfect, and I'll tell you why.
Okay.
Because we had to do the Shadow Stevens interview the only time he could do it, which was when I personally was in Nashville, Tennessee.
Right. And I was holding down the fort here in the studio.
Yeah. And you were in the studio. So the fidelity is over Zoom. We actually did the interview over Zoom. He was in Hollywood, California. You were in Wausau, Wisconsin, USA, best city in America.
Right.
And I was in Nashville, Tennessee. And so the fidelity of this interview is a little wonky, but we'll get beyond that. It's a great interview. Okay, so let's roll it.
Don't leave him waiting. Not going to leave him waiting. Not going to leave you waiting, Shadow.
Hey, Ron and Paul. There he is.
Hey.
Hold on.
Hello.
You know, it's always been that way. It's just like, depends on the day.
You let it go. Okay.
Looking cool. Good.
Yeah.
Looking
good. Thank you. Looking pretty good yourself.
So, thanks for coming on. This is great.
Tell me, Chad. Shadow.
Shadow it is.
He's in Wausau, Wisconsin, and I'm in Nashville, Tennessee right now for work. We have normal jobs.
Well,
here we go. I was actually going to wear my K-Rock hat today. I didn't, you know, we were doing some research for this interview, and I didn't realize that you were so instrumental in K-Rock, and had I known that all these years, I would have even loved you more than I already do. Did you, I mean, you brought K-Rock on the air?
Yeah, I was, I had been quite successful at an AM station called KRLA.
Yeah.
And I was contacted by the guy who created K-Rock, Gary Bukasta. And he said, I'd like to hire you. We're going to get an FM station. I'd like to hire you to do something original like what you did at KRLA. And you have to come in, bear with us. It's a saga. It should be a movie of what we went through. But to make a long story short, what ended up happening is they did get the license. And I went over and designed the studio and the log and the format and the idea. And at the time, it was quite revolutionary. All kind of up-tempo music all the time. It was all
best
rotten,
imaging in America.
Hard. And that was it, because we had no money. So I had to do my my production had to be the thing that set the landscape or the foundation of the whole attitude of the station. So the first jingle that I wrote was like the Mormon Tabernacle Choir singing Ah, K-Rock, Ah, Mighty Rock, AM, FM, Stereo, KROQ. But it sounded like 500 people singing it. It's hilarious.
Yeah.
Cool. I signed up the station on the air. The first song we played was Queen, and we basically were probably the first people in America to play Queen.
Okay.
We had shot up like a rocket, and it was so exciting, but all the checks were bouncing and everybody was going bankrupt. And so I quit. And that day, the whole staff quit, and the station went off the air for a year and a half. And I went on to KMET and started, you know, made KMET a number one station. And then I quit radio again and started my production company. And then they drew me back in.
It's like a drug.
Yeah. But I wouldn't go back full time because I knew I wouldn't get paid.
Is radio your first love? Is that why it keeps running back? I mean, 11 years old, you were on the air or something like that, right?
Yeah. Well, my first love was art. And when I was 8, my dad bought a Webcore tape recorder and taught me how to use it. And I could tell stories. And it was intoxicating. And then my uncle, who owned some radio stations, heard that I had this passion for storytelling on tape. And he sent me a wireless transmitter that I would have to solder together. And it would allow you to broadcast from one room to another, you know, from the bedroom to the living room. And then I found out how to soup it up and put up a 100-foot antenna and crawled to the top of our 3-story house and hung up
pirate radio,
hammering it. Yeah, it was pirate radio.
Just
about a mile in every direction. So then it was on that they discovered me on one of the local stations
in North Dakota,
in Jamestown. Yeah,
North. Yeah. Dakota.
And then they put me on the air as the world's youngest disc jockey. I have the picture from the newspaper, and it looks like this.
That's amazing. Look at that. I love that picture. The microphone and the setup.
I know. The stack of 45s, you know, like Richard and Chuck Berry and all my favorite music.
So how often were you on the air back then, Shadow, as an 11-year-old?
I was on every Saturday morning. And then later, I worked there part-time and during the summer and on the weekends. It became a passion.
Yeah. Well, let me do a proper introduction if I can. Mr. Shadow Stevens, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Wausau Business Show. Shadow Stevens, for those of you that don't know, the connection to Wausau, Wisconsin, USA is that Mr. Stevens used to host American Top 40, which was one of the top radio programs on the top radio station in Wausau, Wisconsin. Counting down American Top 40, he took over for Casey Kasem. And ironically and coincidentally, American Top 40 launched on July 4th of 1970. And you took over in August of 88 for Mr. Casey Kasem.
And
we had the privilege of what I'm assuming was done on a reel-to-reel, splicing your opening monologue or your opening bit for Casey Kasem when you took over for American Top 40.
It was my favorite thing I ever did on American Top 40.
It was pretty cool. I listened to it this morning, and we're walking through the halls with you as you're talking.
I've been doing that basically my whole life. Back in the 70s, when I put KRLA, it took over KRLA, and I was 24 years old, and it was a great big audio theater production called Phase 2. And I'd been brought out to Los Angeles to go to work for KHJ. And I was a sidekick to Steve Allen on television. And when it came time to promote me, they didn't promote me because, well, we don't know whether you want to go on radio or television. And I went, are you insane? They promote each other. And they wouldn't change their mind. So I quit. And I was hired by KRLA. And a few months later, I did research about the power of album music compared to Top 40 music and presented it to the general manager, and then he made me program director. So then I was like, oh God, I was going to Art Center School part-time, and oh, I've got to take this seriously. So we get on the air, we launch the thing, it's amazing. And KHJ Jesus Christ Superstar came out.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, this is almost sacrilegious. They did a contest of Jesus Christ Superstar. I mean, come on. So we did a contest that was the great KRLA Super or star contest. 7 stars are floating in 7 kinds of soup. Name the star and the kind of soup they're in and win $10,000 in
cash. Oh, that sounds like something the Wausau Business Show would do.
Yeah.
It was the funniest contest in history because every hour there would be somebody who would call in, and the music bed was Hosanna Superstars, Hosanna, and they would go, Johnny Carson, Split Pea, go, no, I'm so sorry. It is not split pea. And then and every hour somebody would win $100 and a can of split pea, bean and bacon. Or
that's great. I love it. Was hilarious. Let's do that. We're going to recreate that one, Chad.
As a tribute. As a tribute.
I think you should. Yes. Yes.
We'll credit you at least.
Yeah. Please. So how did you get to L.A., Shadow, from Jamestown? Like, what was the story that brought you out to L.A.? Because you then wound up to host Hollywood Squares. You were broadcast on over 1,000 radio stations in 110 countries all over the world, heard by millions everywhere. What? How did? And then Craig Ferguson, you were the voice of Craig Ferguson for many seasons. I could go on and on and on. We said, where do we stop with this guy? He's in the Radio Hall of Fame.
Yeah, congrats.
He's an icon. So, but how did you actually get out to L.A. from Jamestown, North Dakota?
First of all, I wanted to come to California, but when I came, I was accepted.
Surfer? Doing a lot of surfing in North Dakota?
I wanted to. Believe me. Okay. My parents brought me out here when I was a senior, and I realized that everyone in California is cool, and they all knew that I wasn't, and it was totally intimidating. It was like, So I went to the University of North Dakota. I majored in art for 3 years. I put myself through school with radio, and then got a job in Tucson and moved to the University of Arizona for 2 years, and I changed my major to drama and journalism so I could learn to perform and write. And I was working full-time in radio. Mm-hmm. And then a job in Boston, and went to WRKO in Boston, and the station was really terrific, and I did really well. We had 33% of the total audience listening.
Which is insane.
Yeah, very high.
33% of the audience or market share. It means that 33% of anyone listening to the radio at any given time in Boston was listening to Shadow Stevens.
Yeah.
Just to be clear. Exactly right. that's incredible. So then you get out from Boston, you transfer out to LA.
Yeah, I came to LA, and my job was to be full-time, so I would do all fill-ins, vacations, anything that was needed. But I was basically a full-time employee. And at the same time, I was hired by the Steve Allen Show to be Steve Allen's sidekick. Totally out of I idolize Steve Allen. He was one of the geniuses of all time. And I'm sitting there with him, and I sweated like was it Broadcast News where and they'd come in and they during the commercial and they would pat me down.
Pat them off.
He really was sweating. They were like, yeah, you have no idea. My shirt was soaked because I am so intimidated, and like, I know how to say, and ladies and gentlemen, Steve Allen. And during the breaks, he would, and this is one of the disciplines I learned, during the breaks, he wouldn't talk to anybody. He would be writing furiously. Writing. And he said, I write everything that occurs to me. Every idea I hear that I like, I don't want to miss anything ever. I went, it's good for Steve Allen. Yeah, not for me.
Yeah, good. So that's
why I have notebooks with me all the time.
Yeah.
Big notebooks, little notebooks. I don't miss any. I'm a great note taker.
Do you use the Notes app in your iPhone?
I use the Notes app. I use everything.
Yeah.
I like the tactile. I have a pen that I like. Nothing obsessive about me. I have little
ones
I have in my back pocket, and they're chock full of notes ideas and things. I don't want to miss anything. And then I put them all into my computer, into folders, into notes, so that it's an ever-growing body of words, and like jigsaw puzzle. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know where they're going to go. I don't know what they're going to end up being, but I use them, and then it's like the universe talks to me, and I see a name like Precious full of it. You know, and it's just like, I don't know where these words are going to work. I created a Western character who owned a bar named Limon Soufflé. And I have pages and pages and pages of some. So when I lack an idea, I just start looking for clues. And there I find one from my notes that I keep taking over and over again. I always have something to turn to.
And where are you located right now, Shadow? What part of Southern California are you in?
I'm in Sherman Oaks, right over the hill from Bel Air. Bel Air. Stone Canyon is in Bel Air, and it comes out at UCLA. And the other side of the mountain is Sherman Oaks.
Yeah, you're...
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, who's your neighbor?
Nice people.
Yeah, right.
No celebrities. Good answer. I was going to ask you, Shadow, if you moved out and you're still in the LA area, did you remain there after moving there that first time?
I only ever wanted to be here.
Yeah, so you stayed.
I love California. I've been all over the world. Mm-hmm. I like going there and I like seeing other cultures. And I always go, I'm home.
So we know what that feels like, the way you feel about LA and Southern California. We know what that feels like because we feel the same way about Wausau, Wisconsin, USA.
Well, you know, my little town that I grew up in, Jamestown, is just a charming, beautiful town about the same size as when I lived there. It's in a little river valley, like a little niche in the flat plains. Mm. It's just as beautiful as can be, especially this time of year. It's ridiculous.
Do you go back quite frequently?
No, I go back. I was there when my mother passed. I was last time. I haven't maintained a lot of friends from that era. I just stay busy.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like, you know, obviously you were a household name. You are a household name, especially with American Top 40 being heard by millions, and then rolling into Hollywood Squares, and obviously mm-hmm. that was a national phenom, and you continue to have success to this day. You're still clearly friends with Craig Ferguson, I see.
And, yeah,
that's a great guy. But I tried to look your books up on Amazon. I saw them on your website, but I didn't see them on Amazon. Where can people get your children's books?
Good question.
Okay. Thank you. We try.
It's a long saga, and it's full of irony because it's a story. It's called The Big Galoot, and it's about a kid it's about bullying and believing in yourself. And it's all written like Dr. Seuss. And it's a kid that had everything is wrong. He has a Gumby shaped head and he's got a pear shaped body and he's, you know, pigeon toed and he appears at the school and the kids laugh at him. But he says, I'm a galoot, but I have good luck. You can't get me down. I never give up. And they mock him and shame him. And then they go on an outing into the mountains with the teacher. And it is there that thunder strikes and the wolves howl and a torrent of rain comes down. And guess who steps up to save the day over and over again? My favorite lines I ever wrote is, but that big galoot poked pigeon-toed feet deep into the mud and would not be beat by forces too fierce for man, woman, or beast. As the going got tougher, his courage increased. And he keeps trying to save the day and never does.
But I love that.
He keeps trying and he almost dies and the kids bring him back to life and then they all want to be like him. So they have the same shaped head.
It's rolls reverse. Cool. I love that.
And what's your favorite thing to do these days, Shadow? Thing about your career these days?
My career is, and I still do, I'm the voice of Antenna TV Network for 6 years now. And I enjoy doing that. I also work in mental health at a company called Resolutions that provides therapy and recovery to people with severe depression, suicidal ideation, drug and alcohol, and prescription drug abuse, and every other kind of affliction. I am very well read in spirituality and the harmony of religions and the power of meditation, the power of 12-step programs, and the art of creativity. And so I'll have like individual sessions or group sessions. And I've been doing that about 5 years. And then when COVID hit, I've got this amazing studio. And I thought I'm going to be stuck here and people are freaking out. I've got to write something that is funny and uplifting. And I started writing it and I did it all myself. And as I did it, I started attracting enthusiastic contributors, people who did voices. And it's all audio theater. And then a guy that worked for me when I was doing the Federated commercials, the Federated campaign is after I left radio, I went into advertising. And then
you won a Clio Award?
Yeah, Clio Awards. And I did a lot of things. We did like the whole advertising campaign for the Blues Brothers and 48 Hours Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Yeah. Is that what you won the Clio for? Or did you win the Clio for something else?
No, it was for an Elton John campaign.
Cool. Where did you work in advertising?
I had my own studio. I had a company called Shadow Vision. And it was at Sunset and Doheny, and I had
that Sunset Boulevard. Everybody,
in prime location.
Yeah, you may have heard Sheryl Crow singing about that at one point.
from the world famous Gazaris, where Van Halen was the house band.
Yeah,
we used to go over there and see. Oh my God, these guys are great. We should produce them. We didn't, but what happened with Federated? I was doing their advertising campaign for radio, and he hated their television commercials. And I said, "How about I do a fast talking bassomatic pitch man like Dan Aykroyd on SNL, and you know, I'll talk real fast and then say Federated smashes prices, and then I'll smash a television with a circus hammer." And he paused, and he went, "That's funny. Yeah, give it a try." And I said, "And if it works, will you give me creative control? Because I never want to do the same thing twice." And he rolled his eyes and went, "Yeah, of course. Okay." Huh. That weekend, business went up 500%. And we were off and running. I ended up doing 1,100 television commercials with a small team of six guys. We did all of our own writing, editing, production, shooting. Week in, week out, we would do 5 to 7 television commercials a week. No commercial ever ran longer than 10 days, and they're all funny. If you go to YouTube, look up Bludgeon Advertising on YouTube, and it tells the whole story of all my favorite commercials of that era.
Well, and then you wound up doing radio for Cabo Wabo and Sammy Hagar. Shadow, you know, I want to get back to you talking about, you know, your spirituality, the things that you're doing in the 12-step program and helping out with that. Resolutions. Did you struggle with addiction in your career?
Yeah. At one point, I should have been dead. And it was one of those things where my family, my parents didn't drink or smoke or use drugs or curse or fight in front of the kids. I was not prepared for the real world.
Usually that has to do with some sort of religious background. Was there a particular religion involved there or?
Well, it was split between Christian Science and Presbyterian. Very
were they hardcore?
No, but they were firm believers in God, and that's the way we were raised. Always going to Sunday school and church. But I got out into the world, and always
all hell broke loose.
Well, you know, I always wanted to do more. I wanted to, you know, write, to produce, to do music, to do art, to do everything. And I found prescription, it was called Desbutol. It was a prescription that you could get at the time, a bottle of 250 at a time. Mm. And I was elevated. You know, it's basically amphetamines.
What year was this?
This is like the late 60s when I was in Arizona.
Wasn't everybody doing it back then, Shadow?
Well, they were. And then my friend said, you know, you got to try weed. It's like it's like a plant, and like it leads to heroin.
So yeah, it's natural.
I did my first, you know, they had it all set up for me. It was an apartment with black light posters, and they turned the lights down. And they had a 4-foot tall hookah. And
they said, waffle lamps.
Draw on this, brother. Blah, 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 blah. Oh. And then the music got louder, and I'll tell you, it was Rotary Connection was the group, and it was Minnie Riperton. And as she sang in this astonishing voice, the ceiling opened up, and I was at one with the universe, and I was moving to the rhythm, and thought, this is like trying to explain the color blue to a blind man. It's
right.
Experiential.
That was because of the marijuana they gave you?
Yeah.
So that must have been some that good night. Mary
I bought
Jane.
My first ounce, and within a month, I bought my first pound, and I moved to Boston. And the guy said, "You want to try some acid?" And I went, "Yeah." What's that? Like grass, more intense, lasts longer. So I'm fine. And I had a terrifying experience, terrifying, but it didn't stop me.
Yeah.
In a year, I moved to Los Angeles, and then we did it every weekend. And then it was like every
acid,
mescaline, peyote, mushrooms from the Amazon. I mean, anything.
Sounds like you name it.
Sounds like a Leonardo DiCaprio movie.
All that's real. Trust me. All that's real. And basically, over the years, it just seduced me. And more, you know, pretty soon it was cocaine, and then it was crystal meth and cocaine.
But you were able to keep your career going steady with all this going on?
Yeah, but it was starting to dwindle. And you'll see, watch Bludgeon Advertising. That was the peak of my being, because the work I was doing was really creative, and, you know, all during the K-Rock era and all of that.
Yeah.
It just always was focused and it was for the art.
And then when did it come to a head?
You know, I got to the point where it was all falling apart.
Mm-hmm. What year are we in right now?
This is like 1984. I was using into convulsions and carrying guns because you can't be too careful.
Oh, yeah.
I had a short barrel 12 gauge shotgun, double out buck. You know, it's like you don't have to aim, you just point and pull.
Oh, wow.
I had a Beretta and a 45 and a mercenary gun, like the kind that you carry in your pocket, you know, a little Derringer. So when you demand your wallet, you just take them out. Or so I thought.
Right.
So I had an overdose in my studio, and my friends found me, and my parents ganged up on me, and I went into rehab, and my life changed dramatically. Mm-hmm. 40 years ago, this August.
And 4 years later, you were hosting Taking Over Casey Kasem, heard by millions across the globe.
And on the number one show on television in Hollywood Squares.
Yep. Yeah.
Married to the girl of my dreams who came along when I was 9 months sober through no effort of my own. I never wanted to be married again. I never wanted another relationship. I was happy meditating, happy with my work. Everything was fine. And a guy that worked for me met this beautiful woman in the bank and said, come on over and see what the music we're doing. And I walk in the room, and there was an explosion in the universe, and we're together to this very day. I have the happiest marriage anyone could ever hope for.
He's married to a supermodel, everybody.
He's a stud. And we have two daughters who look just like her that are just beautiful. And now I have two granddaughters who look basically like her, except one has my hair just like this.
Well, you've always had great hair, Shadow. You've always had great hair. Some of the most iconic. Paul, will you show him your hair? Because Paul takes great pride in his hair. I'm not wearing this because I'm
darn fine hair, I must say.
I like to get a little longer, actually. And then I kind of got the wave and curl.
It really takes a lot of pride in his hair. The only person I know that takes more pride in their hair, as much pride in their hair, is Shadow Stevens. Paul and Shadow, you have that in common, honestly. I mean, Shadow Stevens used to have glorious blonde locks, if people remember, down to his shoulders and, well, I mean, down to past his ears, and very, very model-esque.
There was the mullet era, let's be honest.
Was there a mullet era?
We all went through that. Come on.
But Shadow, did you go to Betty Ford? Is that where you went to rehab?
No, I went to Scripps in La Jolla. I went to Betty Ford and there was no room in the inn. And they said, come in a couple of weeks. I said, there's no couple of weeks. This is it. I'm going to die. And they went, oh, well, let's make a call. And they made a call to La Jolla. And I went there and it was the worst day of my life. I was certain I would never be creative again. I was certain I would never be funny. Mm-hmm. I would never laugh again. And I went in and the counselor said, you know, this isn't a mental institution. You can leave anytime you want. Maybe you should give it a day. It was so logical.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll give it a day. So then I meet my roommate who was just like me. He was like into all of, like, I want to be elevated. I want to do more with life. I want to write. We were both drawing and writing poetry and smoking cigarettes at the window until 3 a.m. And he made me laugh. And that's what it took. And he was like, oh, I'll give it a day. And we gave it another day. And
had he been there longer than you at that point?
He'd been there 6 hours and he was about to leave when I walked in. And then we hit it. And we were known as the hideous twins. Uh-huh. We were voted least likely to succeed because we had a lot of opinions for you mere alcoholics. You see, we were the elite of the mentally ill. We were drug addicts.
Yeah.
And they weren't talking about drugs or even very much about alcohol. They were talking about something that didn't make any sense, steps or something. Hmm. And it was in the genius, the elevated, astonishing awareness that's in this 12-step program that changed everything in my life. It was astonishing. Wow.
Aren't you glad you stayed that day? That's a good lesson for people out there. You know, it's, give it a day.
I'm guided by the divine my whole life.
One day at a time. Shadow, so you're sober to this day?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, passionately, enthusiastically.
Very cool. Won't keep you much longer, Shadow. Really appreciate your time. This has been a very big honor of mine. And well,
it's
Paul's.
Very important that you keep talking.
Because they're about to kick me out of this hotel room. But I'm in a hotel room and they let me get a late checkout. They're knocking at the door. But I think I'm an hour and a half past checkout. So they're knocking at the door and I'm just ignoring them because I want to focus on you. But did you ever become a good surfer?
No. Much to my chagrin. Now I have to come back a whole other life to be a surfer and to play, you know, piano. You know, I've always wanted to play improvisational blues, boogie woogie kind of piano. And I practiced for 5 years and got somewhat skilled. And then life got in the way and all my projects took over and I got out of practice and I never did it, but I still produce. And Metal Radio has inexplicably, a guy came to me a year ago who's the president of the Montauban Theater, the legendary Ricardo Montauban Theater. You know? Mm-hmm. It's a 1,000-seat theater. And he said, one of the things that got me through COVID, his wife had died. He was alone in his house. He said, was listening to Metal Radio at night and laughing and feeling uplifted. What do you think about doing it as live theater?
Well, oh, cool.
That's the greatest idea I ever heard. What are you thinking? He goes, giant screens, like multiple 5, 6, 8 screens, 360 degree surround sound, live music, live singing, live performances, yeah. The voice actors. I'm so into this. You have no idea. So we've been working on it for almost a year. I've written 14 songs and we're almost done with them. All of the script is written. The storyboarding is done. All the characters are created. Really amazing.
And well, that could go nationwide, I would think, huh?
Well, it's being designed that way. That,
yeah, cool.
Once we do it, but we're going to do things like have a musician playing buckets out in front of the theater and another guy in a trombone and maybe a singer. And as people come to the theater, dance their way into the theater with umbrellas, like New Orleans second line.
If you're attending, you get an umbrella and you dance.
You're almost participating.
Well, you don't get your own umbrella. I mean, come on.
You bring it. It's not a branded umbrella.
Okay. The idea is that we videotape you for 10 seconds. So each person coming in, it goes into a data bank. And then when they're in the theater, we will project onto these screens all hundreds and hundreds of people. And
right. The
idea is that everyone in the theater will become part of a living organism that will tap into dormant feel-good impulses and project them into the universe, changing all life as we know it. And then we proceed to show them with giant gears as we elevate the theater with hydraulics.
Oh my God. Mentalradio.net is the URL there.
Yeah. And there's a free app and it's pretty funny and it's fast moving. It's been called Audio Acid and Spiritual Crack.
Love it.
Craig Ferguson said, if all that's going on in your head, I don't know how you can walk.
It's yes, I have gathered that, Shadow. You're one of the most creative people we've ever met and ever had absolutely. On the show and ever had the privilege of talking to. I think the universe somehow brought us together. And that's unfortunately all the time we have. I'm worried that the cops are going to show up. Shadow Stevens, everybody.
Thank you so much, Shadow.
Thank you. I can see why you guys are doing so well. You're really terrific.
Thank you so much. That means a lot coming from you.
Really enjoyed this.
Thanks, Shadow. Get me drinking that moonshine. Get me higher than the grocery bill. Take my trouble to the high wall. Throw them in the river and get your fill. We've been sniffing that cocaine. Ain't nothing better when the wind cuts cold. Oh, it's a mighty hard living, but a damn good feeling to run these roads. Try to tell me red. Take me as I come, cause I can't stay long. Keep this living and you wind up dead. Cast your troubles on the Lord of Lords. Wind up laying on a cooling board. Get me drinking that moonshine. Get me higher than the grocery bill. Take my troubles to the high.
That's 715-992-8728. 715-9-WASSAW. We'll check the messages on our answering machine soon.
Is there anyone out there who still isn't clear about what doing drugs does? Okay, last time. This is your brain. This is drugs. This is your brain on drugs. Any questions?
At Rooterware, we challenge the notion that sophisticated legal practices only exist in major metropolitan areas. Our team chooses to live and work in communities where many people only vacation or pass through. We enjoy a quality of life and have an excellent work-life balance, while still practicing exciting, challenging law in Wausau, Eau Claire, Green Bay, and Wisconsin Rapids. Since 1920, we've been doing what we want and where we want to do it. Find us at rooterware.com.
100% of the proceeds from the Wausau Business Show's following business commercials benefit your Community Foundation of North Central Wisconsin. For 37 years, your Community Foundation has granted funds to organizations and projects such as the 400 Block, the Children's Imaginarium, Boys and Girls Club, JoJo's Jungle, and many more to help make our community brighter. Learn more by Googling the Community Foundation of North Central Wisconsin. And now, our esteemed Wausau Business Show sponsors.
What happens when you bank locally? At Incredible Bank, it means your deposits help us invest in your community. Your deposit dollars provide us with the resources to support the local economy and help spark dreams of growth for businesses like your favorite mom and pop shop or your favorite locally owned restaurant. Banking local provides a return on investment you can see every day in the form of a better, more vibrant community. How incredible is that? So, bank local. Bank Incredible. Incredible Bank. Member FDIC.
The University of Wisconsin Stevens Point at Wausau is Wausau's only four-year university, and the UWSP at Wausau staff want to meet and hear from you, Wausau. Now, UWSP at Wausau's Chancellor Thomas Gibson with a message to Wausonians about the four-year UWSP at Wausau's campus.
I would love to see increased support through student enrollment, engagement with our business community. We want to be responsive. We view ourselves as stewards of place. And what that means is that we feel a sense of responsibility to serve the community in which we reside. So my wish would be folks would come in and let us know how might we be helpful, because that's why we exist. I am committed to endeavoring that there continues to be a UWSP presence in Wausau. We understand the importance of having a four-year higher education institution, and I'm committed to sustaining it. Let us know how we can help with talent development. And if there is a need, could we create a degree program together? Could you support your employees through tuition, waivers, or reimbursement? Professional development, executive education. Yeah. Could we provide and help create a conference that's relative to your particular industry? Send your children, your grandchildren, your relatives. Tell them about the dynamic education opportunity that is UWSP at Wausau right there in their neighborhood. Our faculty are just dynamic folks. I would say that when we have our open houses, please attend, but you need not to wait for an open house. Our campus is open to the public. Our campus is Wausau's campus. Come on in, ask your questions. We can provide a tour. We'll
use get the gym.
You use the gym whenever you want.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wausau, we've got an invite from the chancellor himself.
Yeah, there you go.
Check it out.
This campus can be whatever the business community needs it to be.
Absolutely. And I so want to hear from them. And I also want to hear from community members.
Visit uwsp.edu/Wausau to get in touch. That's uwsp.edu/Wausau.
Broadcasting from the heart of downtown Wausau, this is the Wausau Business Show with Ryan and Paul.
The Wausau Business Show.
Action-packed on the Wausau Business Show. I'm Paul.
Hi, I'm Ryan.
Good morning, Wausau.
Good morning.
We're still working on this Matt LaFleur interview, Paul.
Yeah, can we make a call?
Yeah, let's just call the front office of the
All
Packers.
Right, let's give it a try.
Good afternoon. Thank you for calling the Green Bay Packers. How may I address your call?
Good afternoon. I'm just calling for... This is Ryan and Paul calling from the Wausau Business
Hello.
Show. Hello. We're Ryan and Paul calling from the Wausau Business Show. We're calling for Matt LaFleur. He's expecting us, I believe. Coach LaFleur.
And where are you located?
We're located in Wausau, Wisconsin, USA, the best small town in America.
And he's expecting you where?
He's expecting our call.
Oh, is he expecting your call?
Yeah.
Oh, just a moment. I'll ring and see if he's in.
Appreciate it. I think he's expecting our call.
We welcome
welcome you to historic Lambeau Field in Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Coach? Coach?
Hi, you've reached the phone of Joe McKillop. I am not at my desk right now.
Coach Joe?
If you can please leave me a message, I'll get back to you as soon as I can. Thanks, and have a great day.
Well, let's leave Joe a message.
Sure.
Hey, Joe, it's Ryan and Paul calling from the Wausau Business Show. We were just trying to get a hold of Coach LaFleur. We were directed toward you, but our number is 715-9-WAUSAW, 715-9-WAUSAW. We're just calling on behalf of Wausonians to talk to Coach LaFleur about the 2024 season. Talk to you soon. Thanks. Go, Pack, go.
All right. We'll see.
We'll see.
Keep trying. Quick question. Why'd you use the accent?
Didn't she seem like she had an accent?
That's
like
what
Southern,
I figured. Yeah,
Southern,
she did.
Okay. Well, I was just going along with that.
Matching to your audience.
Let's just try one more. I got one more idea up my sleeve.
Let's do it. While we're calling, might as well.
There's a restaurant, you know, in the atrium. Have you ever eaten in the atrium of Lambeau Field?
Yeah, I have. It's 1919
something
like that.
Let's just give them a call quick.
Yeah, yeah. Let's try.
1919.
How can I help you?
Yeah, hi. Is this the beautiful restaurant located in the atrium of the iconic Lambeau Field?
Yep.
Great. Could I talk to your restaurant manager, please?
What is this regarding?
An important question that I have for him. Her?
Her? Okay. Give me one second.
Thank you.
We welcome you to historic Lambeau Field in Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Great to be here, Larry.
Great hold music.
Center, motion to the right side by Dure. And faking the handoff. Bootlegging left his glove.
Go.
It back right.
Go.
Baron Jones.
Yes.
Right side.
Go.
To the 45.
Go.
Right side. Right.
He's gonna score.
Yes. 15, 10.
Go.
Lord, out of bounds. Inside the 10.
Yeah. First and goal, baby.
In the shotgun, Love. Showtime to his right.
Showtime.
Moves in motion to the wing right side. They stack two receivers on the left.
This is exciting.
Is it Jones up the middle? Blessing the end zone.
Did he get it?
Touchdown!
This is great. Feel like I'm there.
Into the left side of Ritter. Third down, Atlanta.
Who are we playing? Oh, Atlanta.
Atlanta.
Long count.
We always beat them.
Three receivers right, one to the left, one and wide to the left side. Snaps to Ritter, look
I don't know.
First,
run, pass. Side,
scramble. He's hit. Tries to break a tackle.
Hi, good afternoon. This is Tom. How can I help you?
Hi, Tom. It's Ryan and Paul calling from the Wausau Business Show. How are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Great, 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 great. Just a quick question. We are big fans of yours. Just calling to see if any of the players ever come to patronize your establishment there.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Matt LaFleur ever stop by?
Matt LaFleur?
Yeah.
Very rarely, but his wife comes in quite often. He'll make an appearance a couple of times a year, but generally he's a little bit too busy. And I don't think that our menu falls inside of his dietary styles and plans.
Oh, who knew? Who knew? Okay. Can you do us a favor and just tell him that Ryan and Paul from the Wausau Business Show are trying to get a hold of him next time you see him?
Ryan Paul?
Close. Ryan and Paul.
Brian and Paul. There we go.
Ryan with an R, like Ryan.
Yep.
Yeah.
Ryan and Paul.
Yeah.
The Wausau
Business Show.
Perfect.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. If you swing through, I'll make sure I let him know.
Appreciate it. Go, Pack, go.
Go, Pack, go.
Take care. Okay. Nice guy.
Yeah, he was a nice guy.
Great guy. You know, if you want to get something done, you go right to the top. And
yeah. I got to be honest, I was pretty excited during the play-by-play calls, even though they had taken place years prior. It's on the edge of my seat. Thanks, Rock.
And we have a Jim Waldron update. Jim.
Oh, yeah.
He called, you know, he emailed. He wants to talk to us. I'm worried.
Uh-oh.
I'm worried about what he has to say.
You think he's
going to
back out?
Well, I've been worried about that since the beginning.
So, I mean, to do a potentially 100 foot ski jump?
He hasn't done a ski jump in how many years?
20 years.
20 years, yeah. He's, you know, roughly 57 years old, I think.
Yeah.
Ish, give or take. Jim Waldron, he's the president of Wausau, well, former president of Wausau Window and Wall, current president of Wausau Tile.
Right.
And former ski jumper.
And he agreed to do the ski jump for the first time in 20 years if we raised some money for charity.
Yeah, we raised a bunch of money for the Community Foundation of North Central Wisconsin.
Right.
Which is great, but we do not have it in the calendar yet.
And I know.
So Jim wants to talk to, I think, all of us.
Okay.
All of us Wasonians. So we're going to invite him back on the show. He's going to talk to us, I think, via just cell phone next week.
Okay. And
we'll get to the bottom of this. Either set a date once and for all for the water ski
That's
jump.
That's what we hope for.
Or, as I've been concerned about, he will be gracefully somehow bowing out, and then I don't know what we do.
I wonder if he talked to his wife, they talked through it, and he had second thoughts. My question is, if he comes with second thoughts, how hard do we push him?
Well, we can't peer pressure
yeah, that's
him
what
into
I mean.
Doing it.
If it's a safety concern, for example.
Yeah, I think, you know, that's what I've been concerned about. You know, when somebody told me once, when you're over 40 years old, you don't go up on a ladder. Have you ever heard that?
I'm over 40 and I've been in the ladder, I think, recently, but that's a good policy.
I can't remember if they said 40 or 50, so I've just been going with the policy of 40.
I'd go, sorry, honey, I can't do it. I'm 40.
Yeah. Weren't you doing something with the shingles last weekend?
Yeah, I was trying to get moss off of the
don't
off of
do
the roof.
That. I said, don't go up on the ladder. You're not supposed to. I can't remember if they said 40 or 50, so I've just been going with the 40.
I'm going to go with 40.
So I don't know. We'll see. Maybe we could get some sort of a replacement or somebody to represent Jim on the ski jump.
We could talk to the ski team. I mean, they have people that are, I'm assuming, regularly going off that ski jump.
They could put on a Wausau window or a Wausau tile t-shirt and it could say Waldron on the back.
Yeah. A Waldron jersey of
Nobody
sorts.
Would know the difference, right. Maybe. The distance and everything else.
Maybe. As long as they're not listening to this show and hearing us devise that plan.
Do you think that, at least he would come to the August kick bush competition and kick a can of bush?
I think there's less safety concern in that, for sure.
Well, we will get to the bottom of that next week on the Wausau Business Show. I'm hoping, I don't know what to hope for.
Yeah, Jim, you need to do what you need to do.
Yeah, so we'll talk to you next week, Jim.
All right.
And one thing I wanted to bring up, Paul, is we got a message from this guy named Francis.
Right.
And for the sake of, this situation that we're in, I'm going to call him Francis Ford Coppola.
Okay.
I don't really know his last name.
Ford Coppola works.
He's from Phoenix.
Yeah.
Somehow he ran across the Wausau Business Show via Google.
Okay.
And he's clearly not a Phoenix native.
Okay.
You can tell because he seems to have a thick, Jersey accent.
Right.
And I want to get permission to put him on the radio. I want him to come on the show and explain what he's proposing. I think it would be good for Wausau.
Right.
But he seems like a nice guy. I just am not familiar with his sort of business model necessarily. Right. But what he is proposing, hang on, I'll just read what he wrote.
Okay.
He said, "Let me know if you're interested in expanding your radio show nationally."
Oh.
I buy time on radio stations nationally on your behalf. I have the best availability and rates on stations in the top 75 markets. I have a list of national radio advertisers and a sample sponsor proposal to help you get sponsors. Call me to discuss further. I look forward to hearing from you. Thank you. Francis.
Oh, okay. Big promises.
I think it would be great for Wausau because the whole point of the Wausau Business Show is to get the word out about how great Wausau is.
100%.
So if we can be in 75 different markets across the United States, thanks to Francis.
I knew the syndication door would come knocking. I just didn't think it would be this quick.
Yeah, Wausau deserves it.
Yeah.
I said, my first question, my first thought to him, and he called too, and then he did all these things. He attacked us with his proposals here. Great sales guy. I guess, but I think it's good for Wausau. But my first thought was, would this in any way help us get a Red Lobster?
Oh, I like where your mind immediately goes.
Would this in any way help us get the G.W. Bush
interview?
Would this in any way help us get Matt LaFleur or anybody else?
Right.
And would this in any way help Wausau, get a bigger presence throughout the United States?
Yeah, blow up.
And so we're going to try to talk to Francis next week on the Wausau Business Show.
Oh, good.
To hear his proposal, and then maybe, we'll take some votes, put out a vote, and see if Wausonians want us to do this with Francis.
Do you want to share us with other markets, in other words? but really, once again, it would be good for Wausau, we think, if we can get the word out even further.
On his phone message, which we don't have permission to play yet, it. He kept saying, I think Wausau's like media market 127.
Yeah.
I'm just talking to you guys. I want you to know you're market 127. I got the deals in Chicago and New York. And like he's from Phoenix, but that's the way he talks. Yeah. And I think it'll be very entertaining to talk to him and hear his spiel. But anytime I hear the word Francis or the name Francis, I think of Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Yeah.
And when Francis steals the bike.
Yeah, yeah.
And he wants Pee-wee's bike and he wants to buy Pee-wee's bike. And
real
he goes,
classic.
Pee-wee goes, "It's not for sale, Francis."
Yeah, that's a great old movie.
So we'll talk to him. Yeah, we'll talk to him next week. Who we got coming up on the show next week, Paul?
We got Jody Langenhahn. She's the executive director of the Wisconsin Valley Fair.
You know, August Kickbush started the Wisconsin Valley Fair.
Is that right?
That's true. And he donated the land for Marathon Park.
What a guy. That's why we got to honor him.
WausauBusiness.com if you want to sign up for the August Kickbush competition, August 10th at the 400 block in downtown Wausau. And until next week, Wausau, from high atop that big granite rock in the middle of our beautiful town, we like to call it Rib Mountain.
Yeah, the stick up there.
I'm Ryan.
And I'm Paul.
And we're going to close this week's episode of the Wausau Business Show with the song that knocked off One Sweet Day by Mariah Carey and Boyz II Men, which held the record for the most weeks at number one on American Top 40 with Shadow Stevens.
It was 16, I think.
16 weeks.
Wow.
Until this guy knocked him off recently. It's Lil Nas X with Old Town Road.
Let's hear it.
Shadow Stevens deserves a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, by the way.
If anyone does, he does.
All right. So I'm Ryan.
And I'm Paul.
And this has been a Wausau Business Show transmission.
The end.
Yeah, I'm going to take my horse through the Old Town Road. I'm going to ride till I can't no more. I'm going to take my horse through the Old Town Road. I'm going to ride till I can't no more.
I got the horses in the back. Horse stock is attached. Head is matted black, got the boosters black to match. Riding on a horse, ha, you can whip your Porsche. I've been in the valley, you ain't been up off that porch. Now, can't nobody tell me nothing. You can't tell me nothing.
This has been a Wausau Business Show Transmission. Allreiz Reserve 2024.